Houston, can we get some loud noise?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, you just heard from the head coach. You'll hear from the quarterback a little bit later. I know about y'all fellas. That's one I am looking forward to hearing. We saw a different side of C.J. Stroud in the game on Sunday, firing his helmet on the ground. We had Aaron yesterday, one of our favorites, Aaron. She said, God, I mean, it's like almost destruction of equipment. That's what Aaron said. But he threw his helmet. He's, you know, going back and forth, jawing back and forth with corners. It'd be interesting to hear CJ now that he's had a little time to kind of go over what happened on Sunday. So we'll hear from him at the bottom of this hour. Stock up, stock down coming up next. Before we jump into this, because I see some people answered this, and I wanted you to chew on that during the break, you can jump in on this 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you nervous about this game against the Colts? You nervous? This one could be for the division. It'd be tied if the Colts won.
Makes us all nervous.
You nervous about this game coming up on Sunday? But to our good friends on YouTube and Twitch, Pablo Fernandez, Clint's hair is on point today. Well done.
Not $72 on point.
Man, add some TV work.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, the TV work, they just faded you off on the side.
Yeah, that's all the time. Just want to fade on the side. Got a little aggressive on one side, but so it's a little bit more of a break than a blend, but I'll take it for a first-timer. But nowhere near $72. Fix your wig, man. Yeah, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Mondays are tough. This is where me waiting to the last second to do things really bit me in the ass and cost me an extra $30 on my haircut.
How many haircut spots do you have? Like, if I got to go get one, you got first. You got how many? You got
two that I'm confident and comfortable in, and then there's a couple now since my Twitter post. I've got two more over in the Heights that guys that you always like when people recommend stuff. You go back and look at their profile, and if they got a good, nice, tight fade,
you got a nice.
Then I'll take it into consideration. So I've got a couple of new ones that I can lean into, not because they're cheaper, but because they're reasonable and clearly they do good work. So I've got four now.
There you go.
Well, problem is I don't have one in the hometown, so it's like getting up and going down the street.
Oh, you ain't got nobody.
Like Saturday morning, getting up and bing bing, or really any morning with our show, I was like getting up and just running down there and getting cleaned up. I just need a good cleanup. I ain't even gonna touch. Just give me a good fade. I know that they're in Baytown. I just don't have one right now.
You got one. Mm-mm. I need to work on that. Somebody in Baytown, if you're listening.
Well, I really, guys, I'll be honest with you.
And if you ain't good, don't say nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't fade, don't call me. Don't text me. Don't text the text line. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't understand barbershop hours. Like
what are the hours?
Well, most of them are closed Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, Sunday, Monday is
open. I don't understand why if especially when you like you basically you whatever however big your shop is, every chair is its own entity, it's its own business. Whether you're collecting part of the commission or they're paying you monthly rent, like it's its own entity. So why would you lock the entire doors on the barbershop on Monday?
Hey, you
Monday?
Work 5 days a week.
You ought to work seven.
Well, five days a week, baby.
I mean, we ought to be working seven.
You know, Saturday's a big day. Saturday. At least barbershops.
Yeah, I ain't never had my hair cut on no Saturday.
You've never had your hair cut on Saturday?
Nah, ain't no week, man. Haircut's a weekday deal, man.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that.
You get edged up for the weekend. Not wait till the weekend to get edged up.
Yeah, Saturday, boy, you working.
Nah.
You got to work. Saturday's the day off. Saturday, the barbershops I've gone through my whole life, that's the biggest day.
That ain't where you going right now. Hey, how you doing right now?
But I've had to roll into the weekend. It's packed.
Well, I mean, you can do. Here's the deal.
It's packed.
I just don't. I mean, I don't care when you.
But
go.
What you're saying
just,
right now, is
I don't understand why Monday's.
Monday's the one to get.
I mean, look. If I had a barbershop, especially if them chairs was paying me rent, hey, keep that joker open 7 days a week.
They do grind hard on them Saturdays, though. Like Rock's saying.
Hey, that's a hustle
because people work.
I mean, everybody grinds hard. I mean, that is what it is. Open it up on Monday so I can get a damn haircut. The hell's going on around here?
All right. 713-572-4610. You're nervous about this piece. You're nervous about this game. It's Wednesday. I said let's turn the page. Some people have been able to. Some people have not. Looks like the Texans have turned the page. The Texans right now sit 5-2. The Colts sit 4-3. And obviously, as you can count there, if the Colts were to find a way to win this game on the road, then they would be in a first place tie. Buckner returns, but it looks like he's designated to return. It looks like they may get Jonathan Taylor back as well. Are you nervous about this game? Because it feels like this is the low. I mean, there's almost an argument, Clint and Tyler. This is the lowest that I feel like people have felt about the Texans in the entire D'Amico Ryan's era, the last year and a half. But are you nervous about this game on Sunday?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous one bit about the game on Sunday. I mean, if the Texans mess around and lose this game and don't play well, that's on them. I'm not like the Colts don't scare me. No, that doesn't, like, nah, not one bit. It's at home. It's at home. It's a team that you should. What's the line on this game, T? Is it four and a half, maybe even more? But it's more than that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what it opened up at, but you hit the nail on the head. It's 4.5 right now in favor of the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans should at least from an expectations and leading up to the game, should be heavy favorites, and most people should understand that. Like, the Texans are the better football team, without a doubt. And so you go out there, you play decent football. You don't have to play great football. You play decent football, you win this game. So I'm not nervous about the Indianapolis Colts.
Down you are with.
I don't get nervous under that. I guess where I'm going, like, my overall point is like, I'm out on the team being a Super Bowl contender, and the reason I'm out on the team being a Super Bowl contender right now is because I think there's a real chance that they're back to playing down to their opponents, and they're back to their best players not making plays, and this lackadaisical ho-hum tiptoeing through the tulips kind of approach and getting your ass kicked. Like, I think my confidence in this football team has been shaken. Yes,
your confidence has been shaken, but not in this game.
But I, no, it's not the Colts. Like for me right now, looking forward, I'm not nervous about many teams on this schedule move. I'm not nervous about the Jets. Right, if the Jets come in there and whoop your ass, it's because the Texans are nowhere near as good as we thought they were.
It's that simple.
You know that like it's I for me, that's not a nervousness. I'm in a bad spot with the squad. My confidence is shook in terms of who they are and what caliber football team they are. But I know if they play if they just go out and shoot par golf, they're going to win against the Colts, and they're going to win against the Jets.
Yeah, you don't think they got to have their A game against
this
team? Some people texting in, not nervous about the game. I know the Texans can win. They just need to get their heads out of their asses and come play football with enthusiasm and will to win an attitude. I don't think that they don't – maybe some of the offensive line, maybe there's a thought there. I don't think they don't – I don't think they're not coming into the games with enthusiasm. To me, it feels like a lot just communication, a lot of execution of like what it is you're doing, and maybe that part I can get with you. Their head out of their asses.
The biggest bugaboo.
I don't think it's a lack of enthusiasm, or I mean, I think they're fired up.
Yeah, well, but Ron, I wholeheartedly disagree with D'Amico Ryans. Like, playing down, like he just did in his meeting with the media, playing down the concern of the offensive line. And the performance of the offensive line, as it's all fixable, it's all correctable. Oh, look, hey, I know we had some problems last week. It was a rough game, man. Let's just move on. No, man. I mean, you had it wasn't just communication. You had guys consistently for four quarters getting their ass kicked with basic twist up front.
Like
the inability to pass off, not even defensive tackles and defensive ends. Hell, it was A-gap backers. It's my size guys. I mean, like, there are some serious, serious problems up front. Now, you may clean them up a little bit, and a lesser opponent, you know, may not pose the same threats. But boy, to minimize and kind of move on and kind of just chuckle about what you watched last week, hell no, ain't no way.
From the text line, Taylor and Buckner played the first game. With that being said, No, not worried one bit. That first game was a 29-27, two-point game. And I know you said that Shane Steichen, you think Shane Steichen probably kicking himself with how he himself
he chose to get away from the run.
Stopped running the football. And I know Anthony Richardson's probably kicking himself with some of the missed big plays and opportunities they left out on the table there. Mm-hmm. Listen, I will tell you fully, I believe that the Texans are the better team. I think they're more talented. I think they're better. You know, I'd like to see the injury stuff too shake out, see how that shakes out, but I still think they're the better team. But I don't think the Colts are walking in here in with any kind of ooh, man, we gotta really play our A game to win. I think the Colts are probably walking in thinking that they kind of tricked away the game. I think the Colts are thinking we can play with this team.
Oh, no question.
We can play with these guys.
No question.
So I don't know if nervous is the word. I'll sit there and say, even though I believe the Texans are the better team, I think the Colts can beat the Texans. I would not, especially based off the first game that we watched. And we'll see. I don't think the Colts' run defense is going to be that bad this year. And hopefully the Texans, you know, giving up the big play won't be as bad. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Colts came in and won this game. So I would say I'm a tad bit for the Texans because there was some easy things left on the table for the Colts, and I don't think it really had anything to do with the Texans. I think a lot of it had to do with themselves and them just not being able to hit, you know, open receivers or execute things. Like the pick in the red zone in a two-point game, if I remember, like all of a sudden, like a tight end slipped on his way over, and it would have been a completion, but it ended up being a Bullock interception. So I think the Texans will win. I would pick the Texans to win. But based off that first game and kind of where the Texans' offensive line is and some of the – I'm a tad teeny, chee-weeny, whiny, little
what did you call Tyler? What did you just call Tyler?
It's tiny, hiney, man.
He said
get
teeny,
it right.
He said teeny, weeny, Tyler.
I said teeny, inchy.
I'm going to be weeny, calling me no Vienna sausage over here.
Yeah, no, I call you I think you're medium, Tyler. Tyler's mid.
Schmedium.
Tyler's mid. 15% of men in this country are over 6 inches.
Oh, King Ding-a-ling in there.
A poll said.
Poll.
I like to believe that Tyler is right at that 15.
Hmm.
Right there, right at that 6. I like to believe.
Is that with the fire in or no?
Yeah, this damn fire.
Is that with the blue diamond or no?
That's it. Now, with the men's clinic, he's wherever he is for multiple hours.
Swing.
Hey.
Text line coming through. Stop It Show. It's Ron. The Texans will make a statement this week.
It would be a great time for the Texans to make a statement.
And they sure should be motivated to make one. Because this is a tough week that they've had to endure so far with just the feel of how their fan base and people are looking at them.
Yeah, look, I just hoped. I know this ain't the question that you asked, but I just hope like hell that what D'Amico just said to us in the media is not what he's saying to the team. You know, move on. We have a bad game. We just move on. We just regroup. We'll get better. Nothing's not fixable now, nah, man. It was really, really, really bad across the board. And at some point, right? I mean, we're 7 games in.
Whew.
At some point, we got to stop moving on from stuff. At some point, we got to stop moving on from these awful issues that come up sporadically throughout a season that end up getting you beat and end up making you a 500 football team when it's all said and done. You got to get beyond that at some point. And I don't know that moving on from them and forgetting about them and that kind of thing is the way to go mid-season and beyond.
Yeah, I did want to get into that because I want to play that again for the people. I want to hear it myself, make sure I heard it right again. But that did jump out to me when D'Amico spoke earlier talking about everything is fixable. That's the encouraging thing. So, I did want to dive into that a little bit. All right, C.J. Stroud, he will speak at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear his thoughts on things as well. I will say this, Tyler. Clint's bad day the other day, I think it rubbed off on me.
That's what you get for laughing.
Clint did what to you?
He did rub off onto me, but his bad day did rub off onto me as well. Wife left her phone in the Uber.
Oh,
figure that out.
That's always a tough situation.
It's been a rough day for the drive, man.
My mom texted me in the middle of the show yesterday. Hey, just came back from my walking. There's just a whole bunch of water just shooting out the front of your grass. I said, what? And no telling how long that water, and that before I had to finally shut that thing off.
Oh my God.
Shut that water. We was out a little water last night, this morning. But shout out to my guy Mike.
Big Mike.
Man, Big Mike, man, took care of me. Mike and his guys over there, First Choice Plumbing, they took care of me, Clint. I called my man Mike. Like, you know, you got a guy. Mike's come out. He's had his people come out a couple of times, do some work for us, because, you know, I can't. You know, hey, that garbage disposal goes down, I'm done.
Yep.
I can't pull it off myself. So Mike's had to send his people out there. But they came out. I hit Mike up about 8 o'clock. Mike said, take care of you. Got the guys out there about 9:30. That thing was done by about 10 o'clock. Full pipe, man. Pipe just completely busted up. I tell you, man, the people who put together these houses to do shoddy work out there,
they can really cost you some money,
can't
they?
Oh, my God, man. He said,
Holy mother of God.
Shout out to my man Marcus. He said, man, I don't know what kind of glue they had used on here, but I just pulled this thing right off. Slid right off.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, how long that thing was shut, but they took care of me, man. But that meter, man, that water was just shooting out there from about 2:30 to about 9:30 p.m.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you.
We're not in a drought.
I've paid $1,000 plus water bill on a rental unit more than once. So hopefully you're under $1,000, man. Hopefully you're just three digits.
Hell no, man. You know, my father-in-law, I'm talking to him about it, he said, boy, this feels like this gonna be maybe thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like he just wants to throw it up.
And there ain't nothing. Boy,
It wasn't.
How do you know? You
already talked to him? I hadn't seen that meter part. At least the
oh yeah. You ain't worried about that plumber that came out there and did you a solid. You need to worry about that bill that you can't dispute.
No, I can't.
There ain't no dispute.
It's on this side,
sir,
of the meter.
You used X number of gallons. I mean, they got down to the T. You know exactly how many gallons spilled out on that damn driveway.
I bet you I do. All right. Hey, man, I was feeling good till you brought that part.
I'm just telling you, man, get ready. I'm preparing you, man. I don't want you to get blindsided by it. It hurts.
Yeah, I know it hurts. They showed me what the meter was reading at about 4 o'clock. It
was, that thing was going
zzz,
spinning.
All right, coming up, a little stock up, stock down for the Texans. Whose stock is up right now? Whose stock is falling down? We'll discuss that next.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell.
It's Texan Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That's right. Stock Up, Stock Down with a little Texans flavor. Week 8. Texans are for now atop the AFC South, but the Colts are coming into town, and whoever leaves NRG with a win, they will be sitting atop that AFC South after this week, folks. So Clint, Ron, first, let's be positive. Stock up. Which Texans, after 7 weeks of football, are you buying stock in right now heading into week 8 against the Colts?
My man said be positive, and I can't help but think about even my stock up has a negative twist.
Listen, mine don't. I'll go first. First off, with that kind of open, this has got to get sponsored by somebody. That's what I'm going to say. This got to be stock up, stock down, sponsored by
one of these money managers out there. He'll probably five somebody, or six up in the building.
Somebody out there could step up is what it can be. All right, my stock up. My stock up goes to Bill Davis. Many of you are wondering, who the hell is Bill Davis? Bill Davis is a linebacker coach.
That's my junior high football coach.
Was it? I've never had a Bill Davis in my life. Bill Davis is a linebacker coach. And, Clint, I got to give my stock up to Bill Davis. And, listen, I know that DeMeco will get credit because DeMeco was a linebacker coach, and that's his area of expertise. But DeMeco ain't working with those guys on a day-in and day-out basis because he's got too much on his plate. Bill Davis had Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen ready to go, and not only did – listen, they gave up some yards, but not only did they play well, and as you said earlier, Clint, gave you a chance to win, there were big plays made by them too. Jake Hansen had a really, really great play where there was reverse, where he was the only one over there, and he stayed home and made a play for a loss. That was a big play. And then Neville Hewitt, I thought, and I said he was my player of the game coming out of the game the other day. He has a pick, runs it all the way back to the 11, got a big, big stop on a third down and half a yard to get a loss. I thought what Bill Davis did, losing all of his linebackers going into this game and then having them ready and having them playing solid football. My stock up goes to linebacker coach Bill Davis. Bill, you might be a coordinator in your future.
The arrow's pointed up.
Bill.
Oh, you had me until you talking about coordinator. Neville Hewitt led a team in tackles. Jake Hansen was third on the team in tackles with a tackle for loss. So, yeah, that's a good one. My stock up, Tyler.
Tell me.
Nico Collins. Nico Collins. When you are injured after being the most productive wide receiver in the league and you have not played in 2 weeks, and your team, the Texans, goes on the road to play the NFC version of you, up and coming young quarterback, same odds to win it all to start the season, similar trajectory, just one's in the NFC, one's in the AFC. In that game, Steph Diggs, 5 catches for 23 yards. Tank Dell, 0. Goose eggs across the board, 0 catches for 0 yards. Dalton Schultz, the other part of that five-headed monster, 1 catch for 28 yards. And because of that right there, Nico Collins stock. It's not just up, boys. It's up in a big, big way.
Yeah, that's that Tua stock up.
That's what she said.
Yes, it is.
That Tua stock up.
All right, real quick, fellas. That's stock up for this weekend matchup, Texans against Colts at NRG Stadium on Sunday. Who are you out on? Who are you selling right now for the Texans on this roster? Stock down.
Listen, Clint, I don't want to kill this kid. But my stock down is D'Angelo Ross. I want to give him a little bit more time. Maybe he gets a third game here, Clint, but it's out. He is the duck. And teams are going to go after him. And Clint, he looked like a guy you just can't put out on the field to play corner opposite of anybody. It's just somebody they could take advantage of. It felt like in this game, any Packer receiver could get anything they wanted against him. My stock down is for D'Angelo Ross because I'm about a week away from saying, like you can't have him out there in coverage at all. Sorry, D'Angelo.
My stock down, I'm not selling for the record, but my stock down is Bobby Slowick. The biggest part of last week is the part that I think he single-handedly is responsible for and ultimately dropped the ball is the inability to go to a pressure package, the inability to go to an all-out quick game, screen game, get the football out of the quarterback's hands just to simply give your team a chance to move the football without your quarterback getting killed.
Dang it, Bobby.
You had the advantage of the run game working. It's not like you were completely stumped. I am just highly disappointed in this offense's, which is Bobby Slowick's, inability to go to that, overcome the kind of pressure that we saw for 4 quarters last week. So stock down for me, Bobby Slowick. Stock up, the injured Nico Collins.
Damn, y'all. Stock up, stock down. Well, that's nice of you. You could have gone stock down with those other receivers, but
See how I put it? It is a positive twist.
Selected. There's Stephon Diggs right now. Another stock. Mm-hmm. Stock something right here coming up. All right, CJ Stroud. Let's hear from him. This is one of the more intriguing Wednesday CJ Stroud pressures. I'd like to hear where he is, where his mind is from last week's game. But you hear that coming up next right here live on the Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Let's head to NRG. Let's hear from your quarterback, C.J. Stroud, as he meets with the media.
CJ, from the first game against the Colts, what do you think are some things that you can take from that one that can help you be successful against them?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you rewatch the tape over and just see the things that you left on the field, also the things you can clean up. So, they're a new team. You know, they're playing really well. Came off a really hard fought win against Miami. So, we got to be on our A game and be able to handle business.
I know you obviously knew that Joe Mixon was a great player before he came here, but has being with him every day and playing with him, like, increased your, impressiveness with him or how you thought of him?
I mean, I've been watching Joe for a long time. I think I was in middle school or high school. He was at Oklahoma, and he was a really good player there. So, I've always known him to be a really good player. Played against him last year. He was really good. So, now I'm just glad he's on my team, and been able to, really open up a lot of things for our offense. And I think, we can continue to, use him in a lot of different ways. And, he's going to even make me better. So, I'm just really blessed to have him on the team.
When things go as poorly as they did in the passing game in Green Bay, what opportunities does that present you as a quarterback and as the offense to learn this week that you wouldn't have without it going so bad?
Yeah, I think it's a check of life, not everything goes your way, and it's all about how you respond. So for me, I just, watch the film, be critical on myself, and just get better from there, and be critical on the offense, and got to be pushing guys and holding guys accountable, but at the same time, the sun comes up the next day, and you got to realize that you learn from your mistakes, you move on, and you just continue to grow in grace. So that's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna hold our heads high, even though we know like that wasn't good enough, but we know that we're a really good football team. We're gonna go put that on film, whatever we got to. I definitely understand, but I'm definitely not harping on the past and just trying to, look to the future and just get better.
To that point about you go back to tape and you watch the snaps that you were pressured heavy on, what kind of things can you pick up that you can learn from the plays specifically where there's just kind of quick pressure in your face?
Honestly, I would say, just for me, just getting the ball out on time, being able, to try to stay comfortable after getting hit, and, really just, trying to make everybody around me better. I got the utmost respect and, the trust in my O-line. One outing doesn't make you a definition. You know what I mean? There's plenty of games that you can go look at the film and they did an amazing job. So I don't believe in the banter and all this. I don't even see it. I'm not really on social media, but, I hear about it and, just like you guys beat them down, I want y'all to praise them as well, So this next week, I know that the protection is going to be great, and I can't wait for it, And, I want y'all to do the same thing y'all doing now and just, be more positive, But same time, it's the league we in, we're not feeling bad for ourselves. We grown men. We can take it, And I know that they want to be better, and they will.
That point about holding guys accountable, what is your approach when you might have to do a little bit of straightening, whether it's with a unit, an individual player, and how comfortable are you in doing that with this team?
Yeah, I know the personalities of my guys. It's been my second year with them, and I know, it's a little different than I'm used to. This is an older O-line, except for really Juice and Ken. For me, the message is just being honest with them and, being heartfelt. I've been on teams before where I've had to, scream and yell and, that's a way you can get to a player as well. But, for this team, it's really just, they understand. They done played a lot of meaningful ball before. And that's for King and Juice and then for the rest of the older guys as well. They understand, we got to be better. But, I don't believe in, beating somebody down, because when I throw a pick, they uplift me, So I understand that, we all want to be better, but it's a way to do that.
Ever since the Chicago game, it looks like these teams have been mirroring, copycatting the same thing on the defense side of the ball when they're trying to throw stunts and throw different types of looks at you all. How can you and Juice maybe get on the same page to be able to pick those up quicker?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I feel like for me, that's a responsibility that I want to, you know, help with is, you know, helping Juice and, you know, helping those guys up front. And, you know, I just, I really watch a lot of film to try to pick those things up. And honestly, we're always more times than not in the right looks. It's just we got to execute. And that's the main thing is the execution. You know, it really breeds confidence and it breeds wins. So, you know, the more we can just execute those looks that we get, because, I mean, we see them in practice, but we just got to be able to, you know, do it on Sundays. And, you know, once I think we do that, you know, we'll be able to see, you know, just our offense flourish some more.
CJ, this is your first rematch of the season going up against Indianapolis. For your game prep, how much goes into what worked for you the first time against the Colts and what has changed since you've played against the Colts and how they've looked differently?
I'll say probably like 60-40, you know, 60% of trying to move on and, you know, realize that this is another great challenge, another good team to play on in the NFL, you know. So, and then again, you know, you look back and, you know, just really look at the philosophy of, you know, Gus Bradley, who is, I think, is a great coordinator. And, you know, they got a lot of great defenders. You know, I think they're getting Buck back, and, you know, that's a huge piece to them. And, you know, Kenny's playing really high. You know, Zaire's playing great. So, you know, just a lot of respect for those guys over there. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm not going to harp on the past, but at the same time, you know, understand that those are some good players. We got to be able to be on our A game to come out with a win.
What's the challenge like for you, say, when it's not going great, to also to want to make plays, but also try to stay within yourself and not try to overextend yourself, realizing that things aren't going as great?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I consider myself, you know, a really good football player, and, you know, I have a really good guy, I have a really great God-given talent, and, you know, I love to, you know, show those talents. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I got to be able to, you know, control my ops and, you know, have that controlled aggression. And, you know, that's something that I think I can be better at is, you know, is just, I think I've been, you know, doing a good job of protecting the ball, you know, and taking my ops. I just think I, you know, I would love some more, you know, and just take on that responsibility of, you know, just putting more on my plate, because I think I can handle it. You know, I've had these conversations with my coaches and my teammates. And so, you know, I think that as we, you know, continue to go and the season gets longer and longer, I'll continue to flourish and grow. You know, and I'm excited for that.
Do you anticipate more opportunities for maybe Schultz to make plays in the pass game? Is that connected to the protection as well, maybe the lack of statistical production from him this year?
You know, you can point fingers from everywhere, you know what I mean? It's really ultimately up to me and Dalton and, you know, really the whole team to, you know, make things work for everybody. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here, you know, point one guy out. And, you know, Dalton knows, you know, that like, he's very important to this football team, and he's helped in so many ways that, you know, that a lot of people cannot notice. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, just point to one guy and be like, he's not doing this for this. I really can't do that, you know what I mean? But I have the utmost respect for Dalton. He knows that, you know, and I love feeding him the ball. You know, he's more times open than not, and, you know, try to give him the ball every time that shows.
As a fan of this league, what did you think about the team adding Devin White? Did you get a chance to mention to him about last year running past
him? I didn't get to talk to him about it yet. I'm not even sure if he's seen it, but I just talked to him. You know, he seems like a real good dude, you know, playing against him last year. He's a heck of a football player. You know, he's really fast. But, you know, that play, I feel like I got up a little bit. But, you know, I got out of bounds, too. You know, I ain't trying to get hit by him. But, you know, yeah, I think he's a great player, a great addition, you know. So, you know, shout out to Nick for, you know, doing his thing once again. But, yeah, I'm in love with that choice that Nick made. And, you know, I think he'd be a great addition to this defense.
Tank are really close. How do you balance out being the quarterback but also being his best friend, especially after last week's game where you know how highly competitive he is? He wants to contribute more, but having a game like that, you know, kind of messes with him a little bit.
Honestly, to be real with you, I mean, he was, of course, upset, but he didn't. He had a great day of practice today. You know, he's in high spirits. You know, just a testimony for just me and him is like, you know, you were blessed enough to play this game, you know, and, you know, we realize, you know, like this thing is really cool, but ultimately, you know, like who you are you know, in your soul is, you know, really more important than anything. So, you know, he's been able to, you know, to really dive deep, you know, with his faith. And, you know, I'm just really, really proud of him. And, you know, I'm trying to do the same in my life. But yeah, man, I just, you know, I think when, you know, you realize, you know, this stuff is important, but it's not everything, you realize, you know, that you can, you still be joyful and happy throughout the hard times of, you know, what you go through in the sport. So, you know, I'm really proud of him and just, you know, how he approached today and, you know, how he approached yesterday, having an off day, and Monday after the game, you know, just trying to get better in the weight room. And really, just, I mean, at the same time, too, like, just checking on him to make sure, like, he is in high spirits and he does the same thing to me, you know, because we are really, really close friends, you know, that's first and foremost. So, you know, I love that question. But, yeah, that's just my mindset with that with him.
All right, that's quarterback C.J. Stroud. You're hearing that, Clint, did it kind of at least tip you off to make you feel like C.J.'s kind of back to his, you know, getting ready to be back to his normal self, he sound like.
God bless, itself, brother.
It's just, look, I don't worry about C.J. and like, I think the odds were stacked against him after watching the tape last week. I don't think C.J. is in a spot where he's going to didn't play well or you know, has any reason, in my opinion, to be down about something that he particularly has done. CJ's going to be fine. They got to fix everything around him. And I mean everything around him. And so that's the fear here. And look, again, you know, the move on, the hey, it's just a game, you know, life is so much bigger than this, and you know, the spiritual approach with CJ's great and all that, and him applying that to Tank Dell is great and all that. But at some point in time, and we're seven, this week eight now. I mean, at some point in time, the poor play is going to require somebody to get outside of that Mr. Feel Good, say all the right things, life is bigger than football. Kind of stuff. I mean, kind of comments, kind of approach. And so maybe that's just between D'Amico and CJ. It doesn't surprise me that they mirror each other because they are. I mean, that CJ is he's locked in lockstep with the head coach. So I love that about him. But when it's all said and done, like at some point in time, that's, you know, that ain't going to be the answer.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's like, there's got to be some kind of holding guys accountable. It can't be like guys can't operate with a comfort level of, boy, we played like straight dog crap. Hey man, just get through this post game, get through this airplane ride home.
We suck.
Get through this Monday meeting. We're going to rehash the film. And then it'll be swept under the rug on Tuesday, and then we can show up, and everybody, hey, it was bigger. Life is bigger than that. Y'all smile. Let's just move on. Let's keep it going. Like, at some point, a different approach is going to be necessary.
Yeah. What you got coming up?
Seth Payne, along the same lines. Our guy Seth Payne, he hit the nail on the head, and it is again, I think the biggest concern for the Houston Texans, the biggest concern that we saw in last week's game, and ultimately I think it's the biggest challenge for D'Amico Ryans moving forward, and he absolutely has to be on the lookout, absolutely has to get a grip on what Seth Payne is talking about. I'm bringing you a little Payne and Pendergast audio, a little cross promo here. We'll do that next. It is absolute fire from the former Houston Texan. We'll do that next.